Hi, guys, and welcome back to the Wealth and Wellness Podcast, where we are taking you on a journey to get wealthier, healthier, hotter, and happier. I'm here, Natalia, with my co-host, Kat.
Hi.
And I'm really excited about today's episode. So we're going to be making these quite a bit shorter just because Kat and I are like, who wants to listen to this talk for an hour and a half? Like, I can't even listen to myself talk for an hour and a half. So I'm like, I want to just get on here, tell you guys what we're working through wellness and wealth wise and see how you're doing. Just like catch up, grab a cup of coffee, sit down. We're going to get into it this week. Well, Kat, I just got back to the States. Kat and I were together for like a full month. We were in Portugal. Then we were in South Africa, which was so much fun. Were you jet lagged? Because you went back to Portugal from South Africa.
It wasn't too bad because it's only 1 hour difference. So not really. But yeah. You felt it a lot.
It was horrendous. Like it's a 10-hour difference from Idaho, where I live, to South Africa. And I was genuinely like, I have fundamentally changed as a person. Like I'm a night person. Like Kat knows, like when we were in South Africa, I was staying up to like 2 a.m., like sometimes 3 a.m. And now being here, I'm going to bed at 6 p.m. like a grandma. We had an event that I was supposed to go to the first day when I was back. I fell asleep at 7, never made it to the event. Woke up the next morning at 4 a.m. I like cleaned the entire house, organized my closet, like have gotten everything done on my to-do list. And I'm just like, who is this? And it's continued. I've like literally done that every single day. I'm like, I'm worried that I've fundamentally changed as a person. I'm like, why?
That is creating healthy habits of going to sleep early.
Which is so ironic because today we're going to be talking about healthy habits. And I feel like sometimes it's kind of hard to do when you're traveling. Kat, how do you feel like when you travel? Do you feel like you're healthier, less healthier? Are you like pretty consistent because you travel a lot?
Yeah, I think it depends a bit on where I'm going. Like when I go to Costa Rica, then I think I become healthier because I like even from my activity, like mm-hmm. how much I surf a lot, I'm out a lot, and then I eat a lot more whole foods, a lot less processed. So I think in those cases I go healthier, but then in other cases, if I'm just going with friends, then I'll stay up to like 3 a.m. and then we'll just like eat like bread and like we live off of bread and that's it.
Which so. Kat and I love carbs. I feel like I don't want us to get too off topic, but I love carbs. I really want to do a whole episode just talking about food because I've told Kat, like, one of my pet peeves is when people are like, oh, I don't put the burger on my – or put the bun on my burger. Like, I'm like, oh, like – I don't know how to explain this, but like I love sourdough. Like I love bread. Like I feel like bread is demonized for no reason. And carbs are actually very good for a woman's body. And like under eating is like so celebrated in society. And I'm just like, guys, like it's going to make you fat. How do I explain to you that if you like shoot your metabolism in the leg, like it's actually going to work against you. But anyway, that's like so off tangent.
No, it actually it goes in pretty well because of what we're going to get into, right? Because the first thing is this year, I think we both kind of decided to put on like work on a few of our habits to help us get to where we want to be. And that goes both habits of like based on business to also your health. So I think it actually goes really well into it because that's something we're going to touch on for sure. And I think that relationship from your relationship with food to the exercise, that's something that I know we've both worked on this year.
Absolutely. And like health during holidays, because I feel like we're coming to that time of year where like everyone, like come January 1st, like everyone and their mom is going to be in the gym like for the first week. Like everyone's going to be like, I'm eating healthy this year. Like I'm on this diet. And I think like right before that, during like Thanksgiving, which has already passed, and then like Christmas and New Year's that's coming up, like people either struggle, especially if you haven't had like a very healthy relationship with food, like triggers can come up for like disordered eating, or people can have this like all or nothing mindset where it's like, I'm going to start in January. So let me eat like 101 cookies like before the race starts. And so like we're going to hit all of it. Health, habits, and holidays. But to kick it off, Kat, this year, to give people a little bit of context, I guess, what are some of the like have you always been as healthy and like wellness oriented as you are now? Like I know we've both struggled with like acne and inflammation in our body and even like mental health and other things, but like give people a backstory on like, I feel like you're super healthy now and like very like put together as like a person, but like, were you always like that?
Yeah, for sure. So my priorities definitely have shifted. I mean, I think growing up, my family was very focused on the health aspect of it. I mean, even my dad, he's very into biohacking and even my mom and everything. So I always had that influence. But during my high school years, like in 3 months, I gained 35 pounds from eating fishy crackers. Like, you know, the Costco ones you get, like the bulk order Costco ones you get. I would eat that in 1 weekend. Like I would feast on fishy crackers and it would be like, I'd be eating those, binge eating those to like 3 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning and wake up at like 6 to get ready for school. So yeah. I went to boarding school. So that's why I have terrible eating habits, ramen. And I think that's really when it hit, like my acne. Mm-hmm. And then my hormones got super all over the place. I started experiencing horrendous cramps where I had to go to the hospital, which that had never happened to me before. Yeah. And I think that's all super related. So this year for me, it's kind of like been a journey since I graduated high school back in 2019. It was a journey of like kind of heading that direction of getting healthier and reinstating all the good habits I had before and that good balance in my body. So this year for me, it was even more of a focal point for me to make sure that I'm eating whole foods. I used to count calories. Like I did not have a good relationship with food, which I know we'll touch on a little bit later, but and it used to be like everything I'm counting and I'd be feel super guilty eating anything. And I think this year just eating to what my body feels like is needed really changed once I actually maintained weight and I actually was able to build muscle.
Yep.
And I was able to feel full throughout the day and not like be hungry. And it was so much better than actually restricting myself from eating, which in those cases I'd actually had like that happened a lot maybe 2 years ago and I had such a hard time losing weight.
Yeah. Yeah, because you like basically like shoot your metabolism. I think it's so interesting because like I'm so glad that like now I feel like these conversations are had more and like intuitive eating is like come into play and like nutrition facts and like understanding that like more than even just calories, like protein intake matters and like vitamins and the minerals that you're getting in your food matters. And like, who cares if you're losing, if you think you're losing weight eating like processed protein bars for every single meal, like that's not actually healthy. Your body is like needing those vitamins and minerals and macronutrients, like beyond just like synthetic proteins and like whole foods and how much that matters.
100%. And to touch on that, Nat, even like, for me, a big thing was eating less processed yes. because I am to those who don't know, which is everyone, I am, I wouldn't say really pescatarian because I don't eat cheese or drink like
milk. But you're plant-based. You're like,
you eat whole foods. I'm plant-based, but I do eat fish. That's just something that came from choice and from the best that I feel like my body feels when I have that kind of diet. But a huge thing is like with, especially I don't like to call veganism because it's
like, you can be vegan and eat like french fries and Oreos and like
your vegan. Exactly. So that's a big thing too, is that you could be eating plant-based but be super processed plant-based. So it's really a focus on eating those whole foods. So building that relationship with food for me was a huge thing this year.
Yeah. So if you guys go back, like this podcast used to be called the Rare Wellness Podcast, and I interviewed so many health and wellness professionals. And I think especially when it comes to functional medicine, which basically takes not just like, I feel like a lot of Western and traditional medicine basically only looks at like, what do you have to do to not be sick? Not what do you have to do to actually like feel your best and be at optimal levels, not just like average levels. So within functional medicine, the main focus is to reduce inflammation in your body. So the beautiful thing, like I know this year for me, because I used to deal, for context, like I had horrendous acne, like the worst acne in the world. I dealt with it since I was 15 years old. And I had went to like every dermatologist possible. Like I had gut issues, like skin issues, anxiety issues, and I didn't realize that all of it was related to inflammation, which, like, I was talking about functional medicine before. The entire focus of it is, like, how do you reduce inflammation in your body? Because chronic stress, eating inflammatory foods in your diet, eating a lot of processed foods, eating high sugar, not getting enough sleep, basically all of these things contribute to inflammation in your body. And that inflammation causes disease, both chronic disease, short-term disease, and also mental health illness. And it's so interesting because I also eat a Whole Foods or mostly Whole Foods diet, which I feel like I really started doing this year, because before this year, I was also like had this mindset more of like, well, how do I just like eat as like little as possible, which is like such a toxic way of looking at food. And I feel like I was just like snacking all the time. And like I was like overworking out, putting so much stress on my body, which was actually causing more inflammation in my body. And I was like not eating as many calories as I should be, which again, if you go to those stupid calculators online and you're looking at like women, you should be eating way more than like 900 to 1200 calories a day. But that's, I want to have like, yeah, we're going to have a nutritionist on here and like dive deep with that.
Yeah, that's in terms of, I used to do that a lot, like go on those calculators and see, and I'm like, yeah, I need to be eating like the numbers and everything. And honestly, it was like, I feel like it was genuinely, and I know there's studies for this, was affecting my mental because I felt so restricted by it. And it's not like you think, oh, I'm only restricting myself when I'm eating, but that actually affects, then you feel like you're restricting yourself in many other areas in life. And mm-hmm. then it will lower your desire to like just even like for motivation to mm-hmm. other things,
because
like
it becomes
more impossible.
Food becomes like all consuming. It's like what you think about all day, every day, which is so unhealthy, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. Which, yeah, we're going to dive so deep into that. But basically this year, like I really focused on lowering the inflammation in my body. So this really was like, I used to think it was healthy to under eat, overwork out, like run 5 miles. I like trained for a half Ironman, trained for a marathon, was like, how many hours of activity can I do in my day? How little can I eat? I didn't care if the food I was eating was processed or not processed, as long as it was like the least amount of calories possible. And I feel like this year and over the last couple of years, I've really focused on like whole food and also on healing my hormones, which so much of that comes to like, again, reducing inflammation in my body. And I feel like it's so counterintuitive because for so long I thought to be healthy, I needed to do more, do more, do more. And I've realized this year, actually a lot of it for me has been like, I have such a natural tendency to be anxious or to like overwork out that it's like reducing the stress in my body has like, I have no acne anymore. Like I have lost so much weight. Even like stressing about your food matters as much as what you're eating. Because if you're like stressed about like what you're eating, your body can't digest it because you've just spiked the cortisol in your body. And then like none of your blood is able to go to your digestive system to actually like digest it. But
yeah, I think something really important to say as well is that for me, I went from looking at it as I need to lose weight to where I think it actually can be unhealthy, like to certain extents. There's a time and place for everything, but from going to that to being like, where can I get my body in a state where it is able to provide for me the best possible, from like being physically active to nourishing itself to feeling so alive, like to all those areas. And that's probably not going to be skinny stick, and that's not what I was looking for personally. Like there's, everybody has their own like goal in mind. For me, it was that I wanted to be able to have a body where I felt confident in it, but it was also sustaining me. And it was able to sustain my active lifestyle as well. So that was super 100%. Important.
Yeah. And I, going along with what you said, Kat, I feel like I think your why is always super important for anything you're doing, whether that's like business or personal goals. But like, for me, like you just mentioned, like your why shifted and then so did your behavior. Like, I feel like for me, like now I care most about like, do I feel my best? Like, I want to be happy. I want to be calm. I want to be able to show up with creativity to work. Like, I want to be at peace. I want to feel like I have energy and I don't need 3 cups of coffee a day to like survive, you know?
That's a work in progress, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah. So, Kat, do you want to mention like maybe like some of your like daily wellness habits that you've implemented this year?
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's super important for me. I am somebody that I work a lot on the computer. Like all my jobs are computer based, and I'm jobs. Also I know jobs.
I don't know the life of an entrepreneur.
Yeah. but I'm like, I'm a hybrid between hybrid. Is that how you say it? I'm not sure.
Hybrid. Yeah, hybrid.
Yeah. Between like extroverted and introverted, where
it's a true ambivert.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can definitely handle the days of just not seeing anyone and just working the whole entire day without getting up out of my chair from my computer. And that's not healthy, at least for where I want to go. And so for me, a huge beginning is to start off my day with some kind of meditation, even just going outside and doing like breath work, like breathe in, like mm-hmm. take that fresh air. I don't know if this is a word, but oxygenate. I don't know. That's probably not a word.
Yeah. Like word? Actually, okay. Well, they bring talk so much about like grounding outside, like even just like stepping outside, letting the natural light hit your sun. I mean,
100%.
The natural sun hit your eyes will literally reset your circadian rhythm and help jumpstart like your hormonal health.
Yeah, and having that oxygen flowing through your blood stream and have the cells carry that. I mean, that's so important for also for your body to work, function well throughout the day, and even for mind clarity. So to do that, start off with that. And then again, obviously, just being mindful of not obsessive, but mindful of what I eat, and making sure that it's whole and it's nourishing my body. And then at least doing one kind of activity, even if it's just going for a walk. Walks have changed my life, to be honest. Like, especially walks after I eat. Like, half an hour walk after I eat helps my metabolism. It helps with bloating. And it really changed a lot of even mind clarity for me.
Yeah.
And the feel-good aspect of not feeling like stuffed or bloated, like I said. So that was super important for me. And a big portion is, which this is something to touch on too, which is one of the habits that I really worked on this year, was to have the peace of mind. Now, I know this is something that we both talk a lot about a lot, which is it's peace of mind is so important. And that really stuck out to me this year with a lot of relationship, like meaning like all kind of relationships, like friendship and everything, just dynamics that I had to go through this year that were really hard and really tough and put me in a really rough state of mind, and just learning to let it go and learning that your peace of mind is the most important thing, and that ultimately if you hold on to something, it's ruining yourself. It's not doing damage to anyone else, really. It's just yourself, you know?
I always say if you hold negative emotions, it genuinely makes you ugly. Like, it was actually really interesting. I, last season on here, I had, I can't remember which episode it was. I think it was either somatic, like someone who specialized in like somatic work, or a doctor, I can't remember who it was, but someone came on and we talked about how emotions actually can, like, that are harbored can actually manifest obviously in the body, but even in like facial structure. So I know this is like very generic, but there was an entire study where like this, and don't quote me on this, but there, I read about this like scientific study that showed people who held a lot of grudges and who were like super mean and angry, like their features became like very like sharp and like long and like elongated. I don't think I'm going to include this because it's like a little bit woo-woo, but like I truly believe that like resentment, and I have felt this in my skin, but like stress in my skin, like resentment that I'm harboring. And even I remember Harvard, I read a health study by Harvard as well, on acne and on skin, and how the skin a lot of times will manifest like basically like thoughts in the mind that are creating inflammation that results in the body. It's very interesting.
100%. 100%. I mean, your skin is an organ, right? And it's going to react like the rest of your organs. I mean, if you like drink a lot of alcohol, your liver is going to deteriorate. I mean,
exactly.
It, like, that goes with a lot of different aspects, and your mind is connected to all of these other. And it's really interesting because your stomach is like, or
is your gut brain connection.
Yeah, your second brain, right? And that's huge to think about that, right? There's a huge influence that goes on with what you eat and what you are filling yourself in, as well as what you're filling your mind.
Yeah, no. So talking about that gut brain connection, I feel like this is a really good transition to a point I wanted to bring up. So I was watching a podcast this morning on Not Alone by Valeria, and she had a very well-known doctor on there that studies women's hormones and also gut bacteria and the brain connection. So it's very interesting. You know how they say like you are the five people that you hang around? It's because you share gut bacteria, and the gut bacteria that you share actually will change the way that your brain operates. So that's why so that's why in a lot of like married couples or like they start to act very similar. So a lot of times that has to do with the fact that you're, so it was really funny. Valeria was saying on there, she was like, honestly, this is going to be like the new thing when you go dating. It's not like, oh, I don't like your energy or like, oh, I don't like your, or whatever. It's like, hey, like, I don't like your gut bacteria. We're not going to be a very good fit. No, because truly, so now that there's legitimate companies where they can take the feces out of a healthy person who's like very motivated, very healthy, very like has a very like resilient mind, et cetera. And they can put that into a pill form, essentially like extract the gut bacteria and take it, and it will change the way you act to be more similar to that person. Isn't that crazy?
It's wild. I saw that too, and I was like, wow, that's really amazing that something that you think is a waste actually has benefit to it, you know?
Yeah.
Which honestly, that is a big life lesson to other areas of life, but yeah.
100%. Wait, that's very deep. But with that being said, I wanted to share what I've been doing this year. And so one of the things has been understanding, again, this gut-brain connection. And again, how much chronic stress creates disease, both physically and mentally. So this year, like my one health goal, like it used to be like, I want to go to the gym 6-7 days a week and like work for 2 hours and like chug a ton of caffeine and like run a marathon. Like that was like 2023 goals for me. But 2024, I took in a very drastic shift, and I started understanding about cycle syncing, about hormonal health, about the gut-brain connection, about reducing inflammation in my body. And my entire – I have a high-stress job. I know you have a high-stress job. But I have learned that my one goal is every single day, what can I do to reduce the amount of stress and inflammation in my body? So that starts with like how I eat, you know, like the foods that I'm eating. Am I including a lot of anti-inflammatory meals in my body? For a lot of my workouts, like I am now so happy. I still prioritize daily movement and I'll still do strength training, but I'm very in tune with my body now, and I'm tracking my biometrics of like, how did I sleep the night before? How stressed is my body? How is my mind? Do I need a Pilates class today? Or do I need a walk maybe, or yoga instead of, like running 10 miles today. And so like I've completely shifted the way that I look at wellness to be in tune with my body hormones and cycle, which is a whole different thing. And I really want to do an entire thing on cycle syncing, but that's like, we're already getting into the weeds. So that's kind of been like my focus for the year. And I think moving forward, something that I'm like really focused on for this next year is, and I guess until the end of this year, because we still have 3 weeks left of December. Like, I'm not letting that go to waste.
Wild to think that it's coming to an end. Like, it feels like it's been an eternity, but also it feels like it's just flown by.
100%. Yeah. No, I feel the exact same way. I'm like, where did this year go? I feel like Halloween hits and then it's like, it just flies. I'm like, they need to space out these holidays so that we can like savor them. But,
Yeah, you were saying the thing that you're going to be focusing on until the end of the year too.
So the thing that I really want to focus on for the next couple of weeks is since I listened and learned a lot today from Dr. Amy on Not Alone on gut health, I have realized the importance in letting your digestive system rest as well. And really taking care of my digestive tract, I think, is very important to me until the end of the year.
I can only think of Nat being like, I love to snack.
I'm trying so hard. But, you know, honestly, you know, she says intermittent fasting for – okay, first of all, Kat, did you know that they did not study women's bodies, like, related to, like, health and fitness and medicine until the 90s? So, like
– yeah, it's wild. I saw those numbers once, and I thought, like, that's – there's so much to learn still.
Yeah, like, we were not – like, all of the health advice that we read, even about biohacking and, like, intermittent fasting and so much else, like, we are complicated creatures. Men run on a 24-hour hormone cycle. We run on a 28-day cycle. So it's very complicated to study women in our, because our hormones are just so complicated. But I think it's really beautiful. And I'm very glad that there's so much more information coming out now. Mm-hmm. But with intermittent fasting, for example, Dr. Amy on Not Alone was saying how if you are so there's a lot of benefits to fasting, and it's very important to let your digestive system rest because it has to reset just like our bodies when we go to sleep every night for it to function properly. However, and if your gut doesn't function properly, since it's connected to your brain is not going to function properly. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we're seeing mental health problems. We're seeing disease. We're seeing so much else show up. But with intermittent fasting, if you're a woman who's already in high stress, which a lot of us women are like already in high stress, you don't want to put like a ton of extra stress on your body because it's actually going to do more harm than good. So some of these things like that are actually very beneficial, like HIIT workouts, intermittent fasting, cold plunging, they're still good, but you have to do it in relation with how stressed you are. You don't want to put extra stress on your body. So I'm thinking of doing a very like gentle intermittent fasting pattern where it's like, I'll stop eating at like 7 p.m. and like start at 7 a.m. where it's like, mm-hmm. I still give myself like 12-hour window, but it feels very natural and it's not stressful and it's not causing stress on my mind and on my body and on my hormones so that I do actually get the benefits without the lack of benefits. And yeah, totally. Sleep, those are the two things for me.
And you know, with intermittent fasting, because I do intermittent fasting, I've done it for the last like 5 years, although recently, like this last year, it's been a little like I don't follow it 100%. But it definitely like intermittent fasting reacts differently with men and women, like you were saying, even your hormones. So you need to make sure that it is something, the way that you're doing it and the set of hours, and also mm-hmm. where you're at, if you're in menopause, if you're not, mm-hmm. if you just got in your period, if you're like younger, like wherever you are, in your, like even in your cycle and everything, it's good to take knowledge into that because like you were saying, there's not a lot of studies that have been done to it, in comparison, but there have been proven that even for intermittent fasting, like my mom, she did it. And for her, it was great until she hit menopause. And then afterward, it was just not being good for her, you know? And she had to adapt to that. And now she's doing her own thing that is not intermittent fasting, like how she was doing before, but works great for her. For me, I'm still on it. I mean, kind of this year, like I said. But yeah, there's definitely that difference that is able to pay attention. Which, going on to that, just to flow on to the next topic, and which will flow on to the third topic that we're going to talk about, which is your food relationship, which is, I guess it's kind of what we've been talking about since the beginning. But going into the holiday season, it is a time where a lot of people, I feel like you really want to enjoy and you don't want to miss out, but you don't want to feel like you're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to gain like so much weight, or this is going to be so bad for me in the end. And I know for me, it had a huge impact. I grew for like 4 years of my life. I had a really bad relationship with food. I actually was bulimic. And for me, it was the way that I thought about it. Now I feel comfortable talking about it. If I had been asked like 3 years ago, definitely not. But this was during like when I was 14, 15, 16, and 17. So it was quite a few years ago. It was a fact that I did not want to miss out on the good food, but then I did not want the guilt of knowing I just ate a bunch. So then I just thought, well, I will do the best. I'll still be able to taste the food, but it's not going to stay in my system where it's going to like damage it in my mind, obviously not, but damage it by like gaining weight or certain things. But the thing is to like there were so many negative aspects that got into it, from my acne getting worse to me actually, when you do that, your body undergoes like so much force, which also I should say, disclaimer here really quickly, if this is something that triggers you,
trigger warning,
don't
skip like the next 8 minutes.
But yeah, it's something that for me, like I would want to indulge, but then I didn't have the mental capacity to stay with it. So then I would keep on doing this for every meal, and it caused quite a few problems. Obviously the one, like I said, was the acne. The other one was when your body undergoes that force of like to throw up, it actually, there's so much force that you actually swell and you get liquid retention. So it may have seemed to me that like, oh, I'm not like I'm not taking in the calories because I'm not consuming them fully. But I actually got so swollen. Like yeah. You could notice it was liquid retention because it's an abnormal thing for your body to go under, you know? And in the long run, there was so much negative that happened. I even like my period got messed up. There was a bunch of things that happened, but it all stemmed from the cause that I was like, I don't want to miss out on this good food because I'm a big foodie. Like I love yeah. food. And to be super transparent with you guys, like I was like, I really want to indulge in this food because I love yeah. food. I'm gonna eat this, but then I would eat it and like 3 minutes into it I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom. Like yeah. I can't do this mentally, you know? And I'd have like kind of a breakdown in terms of that. Now I can like kind of not laugh about it, but I can kind of
which
past it, but it was definitely something really difficult.
100%. And I think that while not everyone listening may have had a complete eating disorder, there's a lot of women who can probably relate to having this like super unhealthy relationship with food. And holidays can be so stressful, like when it comes to food. And also, I think it's really inspiring and really incredible, like how you healed from that. And I think it'd be really cool, like another time, I'm sure it'd be really helpful for someone to like hear your entire journey with that. And I would love to like, yeah, talk about that more. But I was curious, like now, like going into holidays, how, like, again, I think this is something that a lot of people can relate to. So how, like, what is your, like, not like battle plan, but like your strategy to like not falling into those patterns, like when you go to holidays?
I will feast. Amazing. Yeah. I will feast until I pop. No, so for me, obviously, there's a bit of a mental game that always happens because as much as you move on from something, there is a part of habit attached, especially for me since I during my time of bad relationship with food, it was like 4 years. So it's a long time of creating this habit, right? So
yeah.
Also, I had a big support system. So, and that's something for another time, but that helps a lot. Now, I think it's what really changed for me is actually doing research on food and on like even like bulimia itself and mm-hmm. on a bunch of different areas, like to actually learn how your body reacts with the nutrition you put, like, based on what you put inside yes. your body, right? If it's whole food, if it's not, at what time you eat. Like there's a huge, and this is something I know that we'll definitely talk about, but like even if you start with greens and then yes. eat something else, there's a huge like difference than if you eat first something else and then greens. Like
glucose spiking. Oh my gosh, we have so much to talk about. Yeah. Biohacking. We're going to do an entire episode on like biohacking for women, but for that'll sure. come next year.
100%. But knowing like that, like how to control like my glucose spikes and then eating those whole foods and knowing the effect that that those foods that I eat have on my body. Now, honestly, that was the biggest thing, is actually educating myself on these areas, knowing, okay, I understand now. So I'm not just taking, for me, this is not for everyone, but for me was the easy way out. And I'm actually learning, I'm educated, and now I can actually like I truly know what happens and what undergoes when I eat.
So, and the dangers of it. It's not like as easy as like you just throw up and then like, yeah.
100%. Yeah. And so you go ahead.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention like for everyone out there, I feel like for so long, like we have kind of like been fed this narrative that like we need to be smaller, we need to be thinner, we need to starve ourselves, we need to take up less space, we need to blah, 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 blah. And honestly, like how incredible would it be if like we could shift the focus from like hating one another, from looking at each other's bodies, from like trying to like be like the smallest version of ourselves to like being expansive. You know what I'm saying? Like, can I walk into like holidays this year and like do my best to put my focus on something that's like not my body, not even the food, but like enjoying the moment, like being present for the experience, like, and also remembering, guys, like, again, I just want to remind you, like one meal will yeah. not, one meal, two meals, three meals, even a week of bad eating is not going to be like what makes or breaks you. Like it's what you do consistently on like a day-to-day basis for like the entire year. Yeah. So like go enjoy the holidays, like eat a whole cookie, like eat a piece of the pie.
Eat the whole cake.
Eat the whole cake. Like, enjoy it. Go, like, laugh. Go take up space. You know what I'm saying? Like, go enjoy your family. Like, be present. Like, think about the people, the moments, the memories. Like, not how many calories were in that cookie, you know?
100%. Yeah. And it's,
and I know it's hard. I know it's easier said than done, especially if you've trained your brain a certain way.
Yeah. And I just want to reiterate, because it's so important what you said, which I was going to touch on that too. One meal, two meals, three meals, is like the habit and the consistency is what actually does results. That's for good or bad, guys. Mm-hmm. So like that goes to also the one meal, the two meals, three meals of Christmas dinners and then New Year's. It's not going to affect that. It's if you are consistent with that bad eating or those bad habits, that's going to then make that impact. Like me eating fishy crackers every weekend for like 4 years.
But also, and also, Kat, I feel like allowing yourself, when you put more restrictions around something, the second, at least the way my brain works, the second you tell yourself no, the more you want to do something, right? 100%. So like, I feel like if you put on yourself, this is the one time of year, this is my cheat meal, this is the only time for all of 2025 that I'm going to have a cookie, that I'm going to have champagne, that I'm going to like have sugar, like guess what? You're probably going to like end up binge eating and then like starting this cycle all over. And you know what? Like if you do fall into that trap, like it's okay. Like wake up the next morning and don't starve yourself. Like eat a whole food breakfast like normal and move on with your life. Like just take a deep breath in, take a deep breath out, like move on with your life. And what was I going to say? Yeah. And
go ahead.
I just wanted to bring up my mom, something that I'm very grateful for, but a habit that she instilled in me as a kid was, instead of focusing on what you're saying no to, focus on what you can say yes to, because for a couple of reasons, but
that's a really amazing mindset to have.
Yeah, but mostly just because it's more fun. Like forget all of the like other reasons, but it's just like it's way more fun to think about what you can do than what you can't do. So for food, the way that this applies is like, instead of telling yourself, I can't eat chocolate, I can't eat sugar, I can't have my favorite cookie, like, no, like you can have it, but tell yourself, like my mom would always be like, okay, I'm going to eat an apple first, or I'm going to eat I'm going to make myself a fruit salad, or I'm going to make myself like a date stuffed with like butter, peanut butter, whatever, and like maple syrup with like Celtic sea salt on top. And like, I'm going to first have that. If I still want the cookie afterwards, I'm going to go grab a cookie and I'm going to eat the cookie. And not just on holidays, but like around the year. And all of a sudden it becomes way less of a like daunting thing. And if you're so focused on like incorporating good foods in your diet that have fiber, that have protein, that have minerals, like you're not going to crave it as much as you think. And if you do, like let yourself enjoy it. Like life is about how it feels, not just like how it looks.
Yeah, 100%. You know how like sometimes you're hungry and you eat, but it's actually that you were just thirsty and you needed to drink water. Like that's still the same thing with even sugary stuff. Like sometimes your body craves something sugary, but it's not actually that you want that. It's just that you need some kind of piece, whatever it may be, to spike. Like even if it's just like a burst
because of energy. You've been under eating.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's such a good point of what you said. Like maybe like you see that pie and you want the piece of the pie, but it maybe like just eat like the small piece of chocolate and it's just gonna go away. It's not actually gonna make you want like that full pie. If you want that full pie afterwards, eat that pie. I mean, maybe not the full pie. I love pie. But you know, do that. And something I did want to touch on too is even with, I mentioned the fishy crackers a bit, like I still eat them sometimes. Like that's super important to say.
Kat like, and I have such different downfalls because honestly, my sweet tooth has gotten way less, but like, even today, guys, so I had a great breakfast. Like I had my eggs, like multiple eggs, omelet, avocado for breakfast, like with like potatoes that I made at home. And then I got a matcha. Like I had a great breakfast. But you know what? Like after I ate lunch today of my whole food lunch, I was craving these peppermint, what do you call these? These peppermint pretzels from Trader Joe's. And do they have 12 grams of sugar per 5 pretzels? Absolutely. Did I eat 5 pretzels anyway? Yeah, because you know what, like, and it's not gonna make or break, like I don't feel the need to go eat the whole bag or like eat 7 bags, you know. It's just like you can still incorporate foods you like into your diet, but it becomes such a small percentage of what you eat. It's like
Now I buy the little kids' fishy crackers. I don't buy the Costco size.
No, I was going to say Kat and I have such different downfalls. Like, I am like a sweet tooth when I crave stuff. Kat is like, I really need like fries, like really need fries. Like,
fries, Cheez-Its, fishy crackers, give them all. Which I say this, I don't eat them, but like I said, I don't make it. Like, it's not a routine. It's not a weekly thing. But when I do see it, I'm like, wow, I actually kind of like, I don't want that. I don't restrict myself from doing that, you know? And that's what's important, is for you to not feel like you're restricted, because then it's going to, like you said, it's going to have that negative where you're going to feel, it's going to be a negative impact on you mentally, but then it's also going to probably make you crave it more because you put that no to it and now you want to counter it, because it's just that natural human intuition of when you say no, you want to do it.
100%. Guys, I know we said we were going to keep this like way shorter and we're already at 40 minutes and I don't know how we got here. So Kat and I are going to end this super quickly with what we're looking forward to for the holidays. And then we're going to log off, say bye, and see you guys next week and see if we can shorten it even more. But let us know, guys. Follow us on Instagram at Wealth and Wellness Podcast and let us know, like, what do you like the longer episodes? Do you want shorter episodes? What do you want us to talk about? Please send it over there. But yeah, Kat, what are you looking forward to this holiday season?
The food.
Yes, I agree. You know, homemade, I'm going home to my family and I get to see my family like twice a year. So when I go home, my mom's food is just so good. I'm like, I can relate to that.
That sounds terrible though. I do. I'm super excited to see my family as well. And my boyfriend's coming in and spending Christmas with me this year, which will be super nice. So I do love the people I will be with. Not gonna lie, guys. I'm really craving that. Here in Portugal, we eat codfish as like the traditional dish, and I'm really craving that codfish.
Really craving that codfish. Just a quick FYI. So good.
Nat, what about you?
It's so funny. Again, Kat is like, I want the fish. I want the salty food. I am craving the like gingerbread cookies and like the hot chocolate and the marshmallows, like on the sweet potatoes. Like, and also my mom makes like really good Bulgarian food, but like she makes it like health version for me. Cause like traditional Bulgarian food is like filled with oil and like butter and like fried and like feta cheese and like all great. I just don't love it. And so she makes like, Bulgarians would say it's fake, like if they ate my food, but like I love my mom's like health version Bulgarian food. I'm very excited for that. But yeah, also like, dude, I don't know, something about a latte, like something about a good coffee. I've started eating it after breakfast, not before, so that it has less of an effect on my hormones and less of an effect on my glucose. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm like looking forward to seeing my family because, we only get to see each other like a couple times a year, but when we see each other, it is a party and there's like 40 of us like staying in like my parents' house. There's not enough room and it's the best part. Like everyone's like, there's like, it's like a full house and I'm very excited to get to see everyone and for all the tears that come with the holidays and the fights and the drama and the excitement and the laughter. Like it's just all part of it. And if you're listening, guys, also, like, I know that holidays can be really tough. Maybe for some of you guys, maybe you've lost loved ones or maybe your family situation isn't as great. And we just want you to know that our hearts are with you and also that they're, you know, like make the effort to go find other community, to find friends, to find people so that you're not spending it alone. And yeah.
Yeah, we hope you guys have incredible holidays. And we'll probably see you guys one more time, right, Nat? Are we doing
one more
before?
Yeah, we're going to see you guys next week. We're going to talk about, it's a surprise.
Yeah, but until then, guys, don't restrict yourself from eating. Make sure you're intentional of what you do put in your body, though, and then just enjoy it. Enjoy every taste of that food that you are eating.
Yeah, and we will see you guys next week. Please be sure, if you guys like this podcast, share it with a friend, leave us a review, only if it's 5-star. Otherwise, get out of our review section. And tell us how you're getting wealthier, healthier, hotter, and happier. We want to know your tips, your advice, how you're handling the holiday. Wow. How you're handling the holidays. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.